Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do is we continue to garner the facts between food production and food consumption. And J.C. Cole, did you hear the great news?
Are we talking about what was just reported on Fox News?
Correct. Lard is now returning to the perfect pie crust.
Right.
Lard may come back into vogue. You know how important lard has been to the history of this country?
I mean, it's been actually quite important. You know, imagine the settlers without it. You know, I don't think they would have made it.
So lard was such a valuable component of ammunitions and so many things during World War II. The USDA came out with guidelines on how farmers should feed pigs to increase the amount of lard per pig. Now, this is just random stuff that I happen to have in my head. These are facts you need anytime you're going to go to a bar, have a good conversation. Do you know what the suggestion to the pig farmers was in World War II times to increase the amount of lard per person?
No, actually. I've never had that bar conversation.
Feed the pigs more skim milk and corn.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted to reduce the amount of fat in the diet, increase the carbohydrates, and load it with energy. That's what basically happened. Has anybody looked at the USDA guidelines today? What is their recommendation on carbohydrates and energy? Oh, wait, it's exactly what it was for the farmers to increase the amount of fat per pig produced during World War II. Moral of the story is lard's good for you, and it is the second most available vitamin D food substance on Earth. There you go.
Right.
Got my lard plug in.
Let's continue on in that story a little bit. If you notice, what, 40% of the of Americans are obese?
Yep.
Obese, right? You think it might have to do with our food supply, you know, and of course, our pharmaceutical supply?
So I, number one, think it is lifestyle choices. But people choose the food that is most abundant, convenient, and cheap. And so that's what leads back to what you just said.
Well, of course, it is lifestyle choices, but when you actually think about it, they're saying the choice is safe. You know, they're saying these fake sugars are safe, and they're not. You know, I mean, come on, they're saying fluoride in the water is safe. It's not. It's a poison, and we've been lied to by our government. I'm very suspicious. It all seems to be happening right after World War II. Anything happen right after World War II, like Operation Paperclip? People need to study up on a history, right? And what's happened to our country. Unfortunately, now we're to, you know, there's no doubt about it. We're to a breaking point, and everybody's sensing it. And everybody's watching it, but nobody's doing anything about it. Right? I mean, look at this. What our petroleum reserves are down to 17%, apparently.
Nobody's talking about that, JC.
No, of course not. No, we don't need petroleum. No, yeah, the soccer moms will get to walk to the soccer game.
Whoa. Therein lies the problem. If there's no petroleum, there will be no soccer game. There will be nothing for entertainment for you to participate in. It all is driven by fuel. Go ahead.
Correct. And then the other part is, what also is important in this is food and our grain reserves. Officially, the United States has no physical grain reserves, right? What they did was about 2008, they changed it to a financial line item. So they don't bother storing grain in the emergency for a balance or anything like that. They have it as a financial item. And of course, Just look at the financials. What is it? They're now saying our debt increases $1 trillion every 100 days. Oops, that's my donkey. I gotta turn them off for a second. There we go. I got my donkey upset.
As long as he is implementing predator control of the goats and the chickens, the donkey can say and do whatever the donkey wants.
Well, he slipped up this week, and it looked like I had either a fox or a raccoon sneak in. Chickens are not the highest form of intelligence on the totem pole. And so I have a couple of chickens that refuse to go into the roost and get locked up. Okay.
Right? That's not a common chicken problem, to be honest. Just be a New Jersey chicken issue.
Well, I don't know, they're now with Jimmy Hoffa, right? And right. And so, I lost three chickens.
Oh, and that's not funny.
So there's got to be a predator that eats only the head of the chicken.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's not the owl, which generally starts with the head, but it's not the owl in that it took three chickens. An owl will generally take one, right? So it's either a fox or a raccoon.
Right. I'm guessing raccoon. But the raccoon didn't kill the chicken. The raccoon did not kill the chicken.
The missing of its head killed the chicken.
Okay, but the raccoon did not remove the head. The fox maybe removed the head, or the fox killed the chicken, and then the raccoon would eat the chicken, but the raccoon's not going to kill the chicken.
I don't know. No, I've had it where I think a raccoon came in and climbed up over a fence, which a fox really won't do,
right? Right.
And kill 15 chickens.
A raccoon?
Yeah. Well, there are only a couple of things like that. It could have been a weasel, but we don't have weasels really.
Yeah.
Relatives, a mink or something like that.
Right.
But again, it's like you got to protect against the four-legged predators. And of course, technology fails. I'm having hardships with an electric fence. I don't know what it is, but I can't get my electric fence to work correctly. And it's not the charger because I got a new charger. So I've got to go, figure it out from some experts. But I didn't lose 15 recently. I lost 15 about 2 years ago. But to lose 15 chickens today is not a catastrophe. But if we lose our supply chain, it would be a catastrophe. And so you really have to protect your
right.
livestock and your farm.
I mean, to be honest, to lose one chicken is one chicken too many.
That part's true. So I'm getting a little bit, and of course my printer didn't want to work this morning, so it gave me 3 minutes to fix the printer. So I'm when technology fails, it is a real issue. You better get the book because it's looking worse every day. There are a whole bunch of sunspots that exploded this week. None of them major, but a series of them. And it looks like we're going to come to a peak of sunspots at the end of 2024, the beginning of 2025. And there are some reports, some people believe that we're going to get a solar storm, right? And that can wreak havoc on us and telecommunications. And just imagine, what happens if our telecommunications get shut down? People just aren't preparing.
Just so you know, two shorts and a long.
Two shorts and a long. I think it's short, 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 long, 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 short, short, short.
That may be
So,
yours, but if you need to communicate with me, my smoke signal has always been two shorts and a long. JC Cole, we'll take a break. We'll be back with the second leg of the journey. More about when technology fails or when high winds take your pig barns away. That happened to you yesterday. More after this. Let's spend a moment and talk about Greg Hager and what is offered with a Greg Hager music, his Christian and country roots. We'll keep this nation in boots. Check out what I mean. If you listen to Greg Hager, the songs he has written, every song he sings, he's written himself, he performs it. He really brings the heart and soul of what built this country to be the great nation that it is. Get details, have Greg Hager come to your event, or buy an album at greghager.com. I'm just telling you, it's a great state of mind. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis, alongside J.C. Cole. All I know is that if your raccoons in New Jersey are killing chickens, which I'm sure a raccoon would kill a chicken, but that means you're scarce on raccoon food. The coons are going to kill what is easiest to kill. There's got to be something. Since we have plenty of resources here, they're feeling some pressure if they're coming after your chickens. They know these sunspots are coming.
Well, there's also the what do you call it? The lowest fruit hanging
absolutely.
Fruit.
It's always the lowest hanging fruit.
Right.
I did lose three sheds yesterday to probably a microburst, or I mean, I'm not going to say it was a tornado. We were in tornado warning, and it occurred at 3:30 in the morning. I hate those 3:30 in the morning potential tornadoes. They're the worst.
I hate almost anything at 3:30 in the morning except for my pillow.
True story.
So it's like so every day we look at the world and it's very evident we're coming very close to some critical issues where our financial system of the both United States and the globe may collapse it, and also we're walking down the knife edge of a world war. Hard to say, who started, where it's going to start. But, this week it looks like it will be, Iran and Israel. And at the same time, our infrastructure, it's almost like we have a fifth column, an invisible fifth column attacking us. And they just write it off as, oh, it's coincidence. So you had was it 26 barges on the Ohio River break loose? Well,
mm-hmm.
That could have been just coincidence.
Yeah.
But how is it that we haven't talked about barges, in 3 years, and then all of a sudden the last
every
4 weeks.
Every week.
Yeah, in the last 4 weeks, we have four situations of barges, and is that coincidence? And you start to look and you say, how can this be? We had another refinery have a problem in Port Arthur, Texas, the largest refinery in North America. shut down. Had some processing issues with the failure of power due to weather in the area. And it's like going, well, there it is. When technology fails, if we lose our production of diesel, the country stops.
I don't know why you didn't tell us 2 years ago that there could be a shortage of diesel. You should have said something.
Yeah, I should have mentioned it. Should have mentioned stock up, make sure. And by the way, you can tweak that diesel with preservatives to keep it, I think, up to 10 years. Right.
By the way, I took your advice in the worst possible time when I filled my tank, which I've now depleted and filled it multiple times. But first time I filled my tank was 459, which was the highest we've been. I'm blaming you for that.
Right. Well, of course, that's That's the highest so far. Right.
Good
And
qualification.
the other thing you should do, and this is it, is if you look at monitor the critical items such as diesel and how often you have to fill your tank. Right? Many people don't think about that. And I hate to bring it down to the simplicity of if you remember the toilet paper wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How long does a roll of toilet paper last in your house?
Right.
Yeah, now, I'm pretty sure people aren't counting the sheets of toilet paper, right? But, how long does an average roll of toilet paper last? I think the answer is for one person, it's 2 weeks, but that's just my personal opinion
Do you,
from.
this is the strangest conversation one could ever have. But I have made the observation, not with personal observing, but just in general, people who were born in the 30s and the 40s actually calculate the minimum amount of toilet paper they need versus the people like me born in the 60s and beyond. We just use what needs to be, what we think needs to be done.
That's correct. And
That's a big thing, actually.
then, by the way, it applies to everything. If you remember when you're real young, we used to save the tin foil and use it again. We
Oh,
used to want it,
absolutely.
right? Now, when was the last time you saved a piece of tin foil?
No, I don't
And
remember it. Well, I
right,
remember it back then, but not now.
yeah. And so all of a sudden we have been seduced by convenience,
And
and
abundance.
and abundance, and boy, that looks like it's going to change and change in spades, right? A lot of people are going to be in a lot of trouble.
Oh, JC, we're talking about tinfoil and toilet paper. What about food? How many people don't even eat leftovers anymore?
Right. The other thing I think about this all the time, because I got two wonderful puppies. Unfortunately, they're very friendly, right? But they're not puppies anymore. They're full grown, a 90-pound half German shepherds, and they go through 50 pounds of food a month. I have it monitored. Well, when was the last time you actually made dog food for your dogs? And it's like, well, what happens if the system gets cut off and you don't have dog food for your pets? I mean, some of us value the pets more than our family. It's like,
That is a problem, actually. But
yeah,
as
it's
long
like,
as
so
I
I,
have animals, I have dog food.
right, the whole idea of prepping is that you have resources stored for a period of chaos. So let's say for me, I have actually five, no, 4 bags of food for my dogs, which would be 4 months. So if something happened and the system broke, it takes me four, I have 4 months reserves to figure out how to feed my dogs. Right. That's the same with people though. Some of these freeze-dried or dehydrated box kits that you can buy for food, that theoretically last 1 month or so. Well, if you have like 3 months of food stored for every person, you know that if the system breaks, you have 3 months to come up with a solution. Where the average family has about, I don't know, 2 weeks. It's like, and I mean, just look what's happening right now in Israel. When it looks like the Iranians and the Israelis are going to go at it, the food stores are empty. Well, apparently, that's what the report is. Well, what happens in America?
I don't doubt that a bit. And
Yeah,
instead of letting them be, we got to go get in the middle of something that's all about luring us into it instead of just let them decide what's going to happen.
well, yeah, that's another bigger picture. Why are we again? Our government is trying to sneak by a bill to send the Israelis more money. I'd like to send them Well, I can't say that over the air, but you know, stop trying to destroy the world, right? And of course, in that bill, they're trying to send Ukraine some more money. Why? And
Because Zelensky spent the last million on his new palace he purchased from the King of England, and so now he needs another, a couple million to buy something in the United States to keep up with his properties in the US equal to the UK.
now think about that. He spent 20 million, my understanding, $20 million on a house in England from the King of England, and England is sending him money. Oh, whoa, isn't that a conflict of interest?
You have seen the properties he's acquired in Florida since we started sending him money, right?
Yes. You know, it's like,
That's my tax. That's not even my tax money. That's if I ever had a grandkid, it'd be my grandkids' tax money. And we continue to do this. That's on us. We got to
Right.
get loud and say no more.
So,
Actually, JC, I have to say no more until the second half of Roll Route right after this. Let's talk about something else more. You need more of nitric oxide. I can make that blanket statement because in today's world, everybody is nitric oxide deficient. I start every single morning and have for 18 and a half years with a Langes from NO2U.com. Nitric oxide, NO, number two, letter U.com. Dr. Nathan Bryan is the man who holds the patent on this particular formula of getting nitric oxide from the ground, beets in fact, to you. Details about the science on why it's important at NO2U.com. NO2U.com. Welcome back. Trent Luce alongside JC Cole, who just got hit with the biggest sunspot ever. He got told no more, and he had to just say,
That's
oh,
it.
okay.
That's it.
Oh, wait.
So here's an interesting news item that I thought was it. Vietnam real estate tycoon sentenced to death over massive fraud amounting to 3% of the GDP of Vietnam. It's like, boy, would that be nice to have here? It's like, okay, you stole the money. Nope, we're not gonna bother putting you in jail. We are just going to have you executed. Right. Boy, would Congress thin out real quick? Yeah. So, yeah, I would say that's a little bit extreme, but still, stealing 3% of the GDP of a country, you just really kind of screwed your country. Right.
I
And
actually don't, I mean, I don't say that's rare. When you have people like Warren Buffett who get $35 billion just for one part of his business and government subsidies, that's like stealing a percentage of the GDP of the United States. It's taxpayer dollars. There's people who are doing that all the time. It's the only thing is it's legal theft.
yes, and actually, speaking of legal theft, the Congress passed a law that they that insider trading doesn't apply to Congress.
They did
Oh,
not.
it does not, and so they can pass a law that would allow a new highway to go right past a piece of property that they just purchased. Right.
Did they
Now you
just pass
see
this
how
law?
this was a long time ago. It's
Hmm.
been decades that the Congress does cannot be charged with insider trading.
Okay.
Well, this explains how Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein are, becoming multimillionaires or billionaires, because they know before they ch before the law before they pass some form of act, they go in and they buy the real estate, or have their husband buy the real estate, or their family member buy the real estate, and then pass the law, and then all of a sudden government sponsoring of a new area like an airport, a new highway goes in, and the value of the real estate it doesn't double or quadruple, it's multiple, right?
So this isn't a what-if scenario because a long time ago, so before the solar panel craze, back in the day, Nancy Pelosi was championing and led the cause to put this electric generation reflective system, which is similar to our solar panels, but different in the Nevada desert, where there was like a center place and these mirrors would capture rays and then reflect them to the center spot where the energy was collected. It was this massive billion-dollar project. She was the champion. She got rushed it through and got it passed and approved, and her brother-in-law got the contract to build it.
Right. Well, I mean, there's just there's so much corruption, and it's visible. What was this guy? Reid, the senator from Nevada, right? Well,
Harry
so
Reid,
yeah, Harry Reid. Okay, so
the
we're
late Harry Reid.
yeah, not late enough. And so first thing is he takes one of his top guys and makes him the head of what's it called? Bureau of Land Management.
Yep.
And then the Bureau of Land Management comes and confiscates farmers' property, which they're not allowed to do because the government's not supposed to own any property,
Correct.
right? And then hands it off to Harry Reid's son, who sells it to the Chinese. I mean, this is all documented.
Yep.
And then he has the nerve, Harry Reid had the nerve to call anybody who was at the protesters domestic terrorists. If you recall that.
You're talking about the 10 years ago, the Bundy
The Bundy Ranch, yes.
fire. That was 10 years ago this week, by the way.
Yeah, they call them domestic terrorists. You know who the terrorists are? The terrorists are sitting in Washington, D.C. That's the people who are creating the terror. Right, it's a
You know, my
and now,
mom had that figured out a long time ago. You know, I bet your mom told you the same thing.
yeah.
JC, when you're pointing at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah. Right. So, and now here's one. There was an article. Did the UAE, which is, one of the Arab countries, cloud seeding operations flood Dubai. And you go, okay, well, just look at that. So the UAE has done a nice documentary on cloud seeding and creating rain when they needed rain. Okay. So why is it that we have a drought in our Midwest for 3 years and nobody's trying to create rain?
Because
Unless,
the weather modification created the drought. And that's not totally
possibly.
fair because droughts have always been part of the weather cycle.
Well, droughts have been part of the weather cycle, but we also know that we can manipulate it to some degree, right? But we don't see anybody doing that. What we do see is a flood of people coming over our border and us giving the money to Zelensky, so he can have a nice place in, I would guess, maybe Yorkshire. It's like,
So we actually back to the cloud seeding. We talked about this on Across the Pond today because of the Dubai situation, where apparently they've gotten 5 inches of or 5 years worth of rainfall in 5 hours. Is that the numbers you've heard? It doesn't matter what, it's a massive amount of rain.
That would do it.
So I did do just a quick glimpse, and we started cloud research in cloud seeding in 1946. How many things actually started in 46, 47, JC? That's pretty amazing. And then it became part of our process to encourage reluctant clouds to drop precipitation in 1960. I had, and during Across the Pond, a friend of mine who had a friend. I know it's getting out there, but he had a friend who was a pilot in North Dakota doing some cloud seeding. But also, what they started doing when they did the cloud seeding was they would send clouds into break up potential hail. And insurance companies would fund that because they did not want to issue claims on hail. But when you shut down the hail in a cloud, you also shut down the rain. And so farmers, his buddy who was a pilot doing this cloud seeding, actually would talk about how many bullet holes he had in his plane when he got back to base. Because the farmer knew they were eliminating the rain.
Right. I mean, it's you know, I think it was is it Newton's second law? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Exactly.
Right. So here's another one. You know, our wonderful government. House subcommittees finds new evidence that China fuels America's fentanyl crisis.
What a surprise. Idea. I had no idea.
Yeah, new evidence. What happened to the old evidence? And now we've known this for a while. I think that we get, you know, instead of Vietnam hanging their giving a death sentence for the real estate fraud, why don't we give a death sentence to anybody who sells fentanyl? Anybody who has it?
I think that's a great idea.
Death sentence. Boom. That's it. You know, and it's not set, you know, it's not 20 years in jail to think about. It's immediate death sentence. Actually, I think some of the Arabs had that, you know, and that was one of the reasons we went back into Afghanistan, if I'm not mistaken, to create opium. The Taliban would just shoot the farmer right then, and the opium production dried up. Until the American government sent the American troops back in, and the opium production went up 150%.
Well, how do you propose we're going to fund the CIA without that happening, JC?
Well, I don't know why the CIA has to use illegal means. They have the printing press.
Yeah, well, they do. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, well, come on, just add another trillion. It's like, what's, you know, don't even bother growing the heroin. Just, you know, type it in. Of course, you can't have an opium supply. I mean, what was it? What was the drug they made legal?
Cocaine?
No,
heroin. It's heroin.
No. The opioids.
Cetaphimine or whatever that's called.
Right. You couldn't produce it without opium.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, who's the largest buyer of opium? The drug companies, right? You know, and of course, free prescriptions, get everybody drugged up, right? And I can't understand why our country's collapsing.
Don't you think that's the answer to your question? Instead of just printing $1 trillion, if you're involved in using the opium production to fund your bottom line, but then the product that you produce creates a complacent vulnerable society, you win on both accounts. If you just give them money, they're not as vulnerable as they are if you get them hooked on drugs.
Yeah. So, it looks like, you know, you will own nothing and be happy.
Well, I'm glad we haven't heard that before. JC yeah. Cole, we will continue with our tinfoil hats, but hey, here's the good news. We'll recycle them. We'll be back with the last segment. We're all right, just after this. Yeah, let's talk about something else you need more of, and that is tender beef. Certified Piedmontese is a group of Great Plains cattlemen working to consistently produce a tender supply of beef that upcycles the resources of this country, this part of the country, into the most nutrient-dense food substance on the planet. Now, at cpbeef.com, you have access to a whole plethora of proteins. In this case, I'm talking about the beef, but you can find lamb, you can find pork, you can find bison, you can find Wagyu on the website. It is the protein plethora. Full details and place your order at cpbeef.com. That's Certified Piedmontese, but you can go just make it simple. cpbeef.com. Tenderbeef.com. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis, alongside J.C. Cole, checking in from the land of the aggressive raccoons, not eating corn. Apparently, the raccoons did not read the USDA reports because the raccoon fat's pretty abundant, too. And if they would do more skim milk and corn instead of chicken, they would have better winter cover.
We need Daniel Boone hats to come back in style. Right.
I got a buddy that makes them. How many you want? You want one? I'll have him make you one.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, you know, now here's another one. More than 30 million. So that's almost 10% of Americans. 30 million Americans could face drinking water crisis as officials find major flaws in a U.S. dam, the Glen Canyon Dam. Trent, haven't we discussed this a few years ago?
Yeah, for several.
The Glen Canyon Dam, I read an engineering report on it at least 5 years ago that is in very bad shape. And of course, you don't see anybody repairing our infrastructure.
And by the way, who was the senator that was responsible for this part of the country that you've already mentioned who did nothing to bring it to everyone's attention? Harry Reid.
Absolutely. What a disaster. Right. And, oh man. Yeah. So we had a very busy week in history. Let's get into what happened this week in history of significance. Right. You know, and there were a lot of things. Okay. April 14th, 1865. Right. President Abraham Lincoln was shot.
That was a big day, yeah.
Right, at the Ford's Theater. I've actually been to the Ford's Theater. They keep it as a national monument. And of course, now if you actually look at it, you know, we had a few presidents assassinated and attempted assassinations, but almost always are related to the financial control of the United States. Lincoln bypassed all the bankers for the funding of the Civil War, and he was shot. Andrew Jackson was the first. He refused to renew the charter so that the Rothschilds can control the American currency, and there was an attempt to have him assassinated, but at the time it was flintlock, and both the pistols failed to fire. And then of course you have Kennedy, who signed an executive order to bring in a new currency, silver certificates, that would go directly in competition with the Federal Reserve note, which is a debt note. And of course Kennedy was shot. You know, Kennedy picked an awful lot of enemies all at the same time. So we don't know if that was the only reason, right? What was it? Was it McKinley?
That sounds right.
Again, we keep losing our leaders, and it's almost always related to
banking.
This banking cancer. Okay. And along those lines, April the 14th, 1912, the Titanic, the world's largest ocean liner at the time, hits an iceberg at 11:40 p.m. and then sinks the next day. Okay. And they estimate about 1,500 people died. But the conspiracy behind this was it wasn't actually the Titanic. It was its sister ship, the Olympic, and that the Olympic had been in an accident on its maiden voyage and broke its spine, so it could not be insured. So they switched it to the Titanic, and there seems to be some good evidence on that, that because there was a few differences in the ships, but they just labeled the Titanic. And by the way, they didn't have enough lifeboats for everybody on there, and the lifeboats were old and used, and they just repainted them to let them look new. And then, of course, you had this very interesting conspiracy that J.P. Morgan, who was a very an investor in that shipping line, had invited a very large amount of VIP Americans to get on, including the ones that did not want the Federal Reserve. Because the Federal Reserve came in a year later, and that would have been John Astor the Fourth, Guggenheim, and I think it was Levi Strauss. I think it was a Strauss who owned Macy's. They didn't want to have the Federal Reserve come in. And of course, they were major opponents to it, and they surprisingly died on the Titanic. And a year later, we get the Federal Reserve. Read the book, The Devil from Jekyll Island, I think it's called. No, The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Yeah, the creature. Just think about how
Creature from.
different the world would be if events like that didn't take shape, 100 years ago.
Right. Right. Yeah, and we're looking at this 100 years later.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve has never been audited. So you're trusting, and by the way, it looks like the only people who are smart enough to run the Federal Reserve are Zionist Jews. Nobody else. That's very suspicious. Right. April 14th, 1983. President Reagan signs the $165 billion Social Security Rescue Act. Okay. It's like going, okay, so hey, I was just becoming into the real world of working in 1983. And at that time I knew Social Security was broken, bankrupt. What do you think now? You know, it's like, okay, we thought we were in financial trouble then. 34 trillion in debt, and I don't know, 200 trillion obligations. Where's money going to come from? And so, who's going to pay for all those, well, bills? I mean, debt that we have.
Obligations, absolutely.
Oh, geez, yeah.
I mean, we
There's
keep
money.
talking about our grandkids, but I mean, that's not even feasible.
It's not even not going to get there.
Yeah,
Not
no, it's not going to happen.
even close. Right. So here's an interesting one that I pick up because I watch Russia. April 15th, 1902. Okay, so this is pretty early. The Russian Revolution was about 1917. Rioting and arson continues in Russia as the peasants are plundering the estates to find food. What?
Really?
What?
1902.
Peasants? 1902. Peasants rioting to find food? No, that could never happen here in America. No, not with 15% of our population on food stamps, 22% of New York City on food stamps. And that's not counting the 20 to 30 million illegal immigrants we have that we're paying for. Right. Now here's another one. It was just a real interesting day. April 15th, 1917. Lenin arrives back from exile in Russia at the Finland station in Petrograd, which basically means Peter's city, to join the Russian Revolution. Of course, Lenin was funded by the Rothschilds to create the Russian Revolution, to get rid of the Tsar's family, and to break up Russia. Right? And boy, the Russians know that. And of course, the Tsar's family was captured in 1917 and executed by a firing squad on 1918. You don't think the Russians remember that? You don't think? And it was the bankers directly related to the Rothschilds. Yeah, it's paybacks are going to be a bitch. And then here,
the most interesting part of that, JC, is that if you really study history and you learn from, I'm going to say from the Catherine the Great era, which started what, 1860 through 19, through the end of World War One, I mean, probably into the 20s, everything in the world was centered around Russia. That's where it was at.
a lot, you know, and Russia's four times the size of the United States, with now about just under 200 million people. They have a huge amount of
Of
natural resources.
resources.
Yeah. So here's one that we have forgotten about. April 17th, 1961, 1,400 Cuban exiles land on the Bay of Pigs in a doomed attempt to overthrow Fidel Castro. Well, that gets into some interesting American history because the US Air Force was supposed to go in and cover them and apparently didn't, right? And I think Kennedy nixed the plan, right? And of course the Bay of Pigs happened, right? And that leads pretty much into the Cuban Missile Crisis that would be coming forward in a year, right? But here's something that all Americans need to look up and read about. Operation Northwoods. Operation Northwoods. It's very easy. You just do a search, it'll pop up. Proposals called for by the CIA operatives to both stage and commit acts of terrorism against American military and civilian targets and blame them on the Cuban government
Wow.
to justify a war against Cuba. And it's a signed document by the top generals. It's a document. You can get it off the internet, right? Including shooting down an American civilian planes and blaming it on the Cubans, right? From the CIA. Now, where'd the CIA come from? Oh, right, that came from the OSS out of the ending of World War II and the incorporation of the Nazi Secret Service. In other words, that leads into Operation Paperclip, where we brought in a huge amount of Nazis who they're not reporting. It's been documented 2,000 to 3,000, but it's estimated 20,000 to 30,000, and they were put all throughout U.S. industry. Now, 70 years later, we're dealing with it.
And here we are. We've successfully journeyed down the path connecting food producers to food consumers. For JC Cole, I'm Trent Luce, both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route. Get more details about the Apache sprayer systems and how that will benefit you in food production at simpsonfarm.com.